This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. There are a couple of dueling options out there on how best to fund the city's bus system moving forward. We're going to break it down for you now. Joining us in the studio, our Southwest Ohio Regional Transit Authority, or SORTA, board chair, Craig Cassie. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you for having me.
Transit activist from the Better Bus Coalition, Cam Hardy. Welcome, Cam.
Hello. Good to be here.
And on the phone is WCPO transportation reporter Pat LaFleur. Welcome, Pat.
Hey, thanks, Michael.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to weigh in on this issue, you can also email talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those into the show. So, Craig, it's been reported that the bus system is losing riders and running out of money. Why?
Well, I think over the years, the investment into the system hasn't been what it's needed to be. And as such, we're not able to provide the service that really the community needs, particularly as the community has changed and where jobs, healthcare, education exist, right? We're not able to reach all those like we should today, which is certainly why we want to reinvest in the system and expand the service to provide the community the system it needs.
And Cam, you're a transit advocate.
Yes.
We're going to get into your tax proposal in a moment. But first, just tell us what the bus system means to you now and what you'd like it to mean to you in the future.
Well, you know, I am a full-time bus rider. I do not own a car. I currently work downtown, you know, on 4th Street. So I commute by bus to work every single day on the express mostly. And, you know, the transportation system of today is really very 1980s-centric. And, like, all of our routes feed into downtown, and it's not really – it's very antiquated. You know, the buses are late, the buses break down. We have a very bad fleet problem where our buses are breaking down at an exorbitant rate. We just was able to replace some buses, so that's good. What I would like to see from our bus system is, you know, I think one of the biggest issues is that there's a stigma around riding the bus. You know, it's for poor people. You know, it's a lifeline for poor people only. And, you know, poor people are told to take it or leave it, basically. I envision a bus system where all walks of life ride it. You know, it's not really a partisan thing, or, you know, it's more about economics and saving the environment and getting people from point A to point B.
And Pat, in your reporting, I mean, you're hearing this frustration, but what do you know of, like, the origin of where this started? Has this always been the case that bus riders have been frustrated with the service, or is there something that's changed in recent years?
Well, I think what we're seeing in recent years is more demand for more robust public transportation. You know, for the last several decades, this region has always been so car-centric. But especially as kind of the millennial generation and now this Generation Z are, you know, entering into adulthood, they're making more demands, more vocal demands for things like better public transit or not wanting to own a car and have a better alternative. So I think I don't know if the frustrations are relatively or necessarily new, but I think we're seeing more demand for improvement and change.
So let's talk about funding, if change is needed and how we're going to pay for that. It seems clear that more money is needed for the bus service. So it looks like SORTA wants to look at 2020 as an opportunity to place a levy on the ballot. Craig, is that correct?
Yeah, we've been reviewing this for several years, as Cam will, I'm sure, let you know. But 2020 looks to be the right time to go to the electorate. And certainly from the service we want to provide and lack of funding to do so, it's needed as quickly as possible.
So what is it about that year that is most attractive to your organization?
Well, I think it's not just our organization, but the kind of, you know, the voters looking at these kind of issues. It's a presidential year. Mm-hmm. You know, off-year elections have many fewer folks showing up and tend to be a little more conservative.
And what is the overall budget of SORTA?
Around $100 million.
Okay. So what does the levy look like in terms of how much money it would generate?
Well, the program that we've put together, so as a board, we approved a month ago the system we'd like to offer up to the voters in terms of the routes, where they go, how often they go, the key you know, frequency, span, and service that's required to deliver a good system. And that system would cost probably another $50 million over what we're spending today.
And Cam, you've got a different idea. So your organization, the Better Bus Coalition, is working to place a levy on the ballot sooner than that.
Yeah, we will. You know, real quick, I want to say that in principle, I actually agree with Chairman Cassidy's plan as far as a countywide, you know, vision for it. The reason that we're doing it as citywide effort is because we're very frustrated with, quite frankly, the amount of time that it's taken to come to a resolution. I've been attending the Southern Board meetings for about 3 years now, and every single year that I can remember, there's been promise of a tax and it has not happened. And so we can't levy a countywide tax. So we are going with the second best solution, which is a citywide effort.
Okay. And tell us what this plan is. It looks like you're targeting the earnings tax.
Yes. So what we want right now, Cincinnati Metro gets 0.3% of 2.1% that every city worker pays into an earnings tax. What we want to do is raise that from 0.3 to 0.5. For every $10,000 that you earn, you'd pay an additional 20 per year, or basically 38 cents per week. And it would raise an additional $56 million a year. And what our vision for that $56 million is to balance a budget and add some sort of a value to the system. So, you know, 24-hour service on high-frequency routes, more crosstown routes, you know, and just a stabilized plan to replace the fleet, just basic things. We don't think that this is like the grand change. We want to stabilize what we have and save ourselves because we don't believe that the sort of board or our elected officials will.
So Metro's financial forecasts indicate a potential $62 million operating deficit by 2028, Craig?
Correct.
Okay, so I'm hearing a lot of numbers out here. I mean, is this going to be enough to offset that long-term loss?
Well, I think, you know, as Cam pointed out, they would prefer a larger plan, the one we've talked about.
Right.
What the 0.2% increase in the earnings tax would end up raising about $36 million a year, right?
Right.
So it would take you about potentially halfway to what we're looking at doing is at a broader plan. You know, to your point, the earnings tax plan being proposed wouldn't get you as far as you need to get there, but it certainly would be better than we have today, which is why Cam's advocating for it. But again, I think the broader issue is how do we get more quickly to this sales tax so we have a countywide funding source for a countywide system.
Okay. And we're going to touch on that in just a moment. Hey, Pat, what are you seeing in terms of the public's appetite for voting on this sometime soon?
Well, that's kind of what I'm still trying to take a pulse on. And something that has kind of come across my mind as both of these plans have started to actually take some shape is I wonder to what extent this is going to require some really robust education of the public as to the specific nuances of these two different taxes. And I think everyone agrees that, and we're hearing that from the panel here today, but everyone agrees that Metro simply needs more money. Now, how do we get there is going to be the question that we're talking about today. But when it comes to understanding the different versions of these kind of taxes that we would use to fund Metro, it's going to take a lot of outreach from all hands in the pot to make sure that the public, A, understands not only what they're getting, but how they're paying for it.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to weigh in on this, you can also email talk@wvxu.org or send your comments via Facebook or Twitter. Cam, how likely do you see this issue being on the ballot?
You know, I'm pretty confident right now that we are going to see resolution. But my hope, you know, at the end of the day is that, you know, I want a true partnership with Craig, with, you know, vested interests around this. But, you know, again, if we don't see some sort of movement or, you know, excitement around it, we will indefinitely move forward.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're talking today about the best way to fund Metro. Joining us in the studio are Southwest Ohio Regional Transit Authority Board Chair Craig Cassie, transit activist from the Better Bus Coalition Cam Hardy, and on the phone is WCPO transportation reporter Pat LaFleur. Our number again is 513-419-7100. Email talk at wvxu.org or find us on your favorite social media platform. In a report in the Inquirer, Cam, you were quoted as saying that your group has been lied to. And quote, at this point, we can't trust government. We can't trust the sort of board. We have to go out and do this on our own. And Craig, in that same article, you said, quote, we have earned their lack of trust.
I did say that. And I think I don't want to put words in Cam's mouth. I think when you say lied to, you mean you believe we had made more of a commitment to move to the ballot faster, not generally lied about bus
Correct.
Service or anything like
Correct.
That.
Correct. I mean, in the sense of putting a levy on the ballot, we've been lied to. They've said they were going to do it. They punted it year after year.
You know, we could parse words and say whether we ever, you know, we said we were investigating it and wanting to find the right time. We know that we can't afford to lose, right, that it takes a lot of effort to get one of these done. And we know it's important and we know the timing is coming. And I can exactly see, though, why Cam and team felt like we weren't being – you know, we weren't moving to their space, to their pace, and I think that's right. So that's why we are very quickly trying to get this plan that gets us to 2020.
Well, from your perspective, Craig, what role do people like Cam play in your organization's conversation about how to move forward?
Well, and I've said it hundreds of times, as you know, folks are always asking if we are at odds, and we really aren't. You know, I mean, Cam can push me a little bit right in the team, right. And we appreciate that, but he wants what we want, right, a better bus system. And a better transit system that really supports and lifts up the entire region, gets people to, you know, education, jobs, healthcare, work, worship, all those things, and does it in an effective way. So it's really a matter of, I appreciate Cam trying to push us to go faster and get better.
So what can you tell us about those conversations to make this more of a countywide issue rather than a city one? Because to be clear, Cam, your proposal, as far as the earnings tax, that affects people who are working within the city limits.
Correct.
That comes out of their payroll.
Live or work.
Live or work. Live,
so we're talking residents and workers who come in.
Only the city residents will be able to vote on it.
Exactly. So that's where you have the conflict from some voices, is that, okay, you've got the Cincinnati residents in the city proper are all going to get the opportunity to vote on this. But if you live outside of the city limits, up in the suburbs or northern Kentucky, and you come over here to work, you're also going to have to pay that tax whether you use the bus or not.
Correct. And we sympathize with them, you know, but we are doing what the charter allows us to do, is, you know, enact, you know, we can put something on the city ballot. If we could do it county, we would.
Right.
So I think, so that's it. So let's hear it.
Exactly. And so Cam's doing what he can do. And I think it's great that he's pushing us all into action even more rapidly. Right. So we owe it to them to put together this countywide plan and get it out on the ballot. There is, you know, for many reasons, I think it's a countywide system, and certainly a lot of the improvements we're talking about making, cross-town routes and things, would benefit the county even to a greater extent than the mm-hmm. city. It's connected to the other counties in the region, all those things that are really powerful. The other thing, for most folks in the county, because, again, it's everybody that works or lives in the city, the sales tax approach would actually be a cost decrease to them as opposed to the earnings tax.
Yeah, that's a little bit – we could debate that. I think that's debatable, but I think that, you know, these are good discussions to have, because I don't think that all of the activists are on board with just raising the sales tax and not having a little bit of the earnings tax to stay. I think that's where some of the disconnect is at.
So the countywide levies, I read, have failed in three attempts since 1979, most recently
correct.
In 2002, so it's been a while. Yeah. Why is the county at large, in terms of voter turnout based on those three efforts, apparently opposed to this, do you think?
Well, I think in 2002, there was a lot more to it than what we're talking about.
That was the big metro moves.
Right, metro moves, a lot of rail discussions, things like that. What we know is we need to have a core system that meets the needs of the community. That's what we're proposing. As we kind of come to some conclusions with the how to fund it at the board level, it certainly is focused on those things that can do the most efficient improvements for the region.
So the Chamber of Commerce also seems to support the regional plan as well. Is that what I'm reading?
Yes.
Okay, so who are the partners who make up that initiative? Who are the people who are part of the conversation to sort of drive that message to the suburban voter?
Well, I mean, there's been lots of engagement with the community over the last several years. We've had, you know, upwards of 20 community engagement sessions throughout the county. We've had the Metro Futures Task Force, which had folks from the city and the county, community leaders, faith leaders, things like that. Folks came back with this proposal for a sales tax increase. The business community, obviously the chamber, very much in favor of these things. And honestly, the bus riders too, because we want this funding mechanism that likely gives us more access to greater amount of funds.
And Cam, how do you see this faring in spite of your efforts, you know, to do the earnings tax situation in the city? You just said yourself that you'd prefer to see this countywide effort as well. What kind of message does somebody like you take to somebody out in the suburbs who has no idea what it's like to ride on the bus?
I think that's a great question. And I spend a lot of time with county residents. I spend a lot of time in Corrine Township, Greene Township, you know, and talking to residents about this. Here's the thing. You know, you may not ride the bus, but getting people off the road and out of your way benefits you if you're in a car too, you know, and it helps. It's about economics as well. I explained that earlier, you know, as well as the environment. So it helps us all, you know, to invest in this. But I wanted to quickly, you said, you know, why has these initiatives failed? And I think it's because of a stigma that people have against public transportation, that it's for the poor, it's only for the poor. So what we have to do is we have to work in conjunction with the Sorter Board to kind of break up that stigma and show people that it's for everybody in all walks of life.
Sure. I think that even if you don't depend on Sorta or Metro, the people you depend on do.
Bingo.
Right? That you know, there's jobs that need to be filled. I work for an employer outside of the city, but in the northern part of the county, and it's, you know, we need to get employees to those jobs. In fact, it's interesting. There's plenty of people in the county that do ride the bus, and
yes.
In fact, from an access standpoint, so for folks that have, you know, disabled riders and things like that that aren't able to ride the regular routes, there's a majority of those rides come from the county, not inside the city of Cincinnati.
We got a comment from a listener, Patricia. She says, we just don't have a culture here that promotes public transit. More money won't help until that changes. That seems to be in line with what you just said, Cam.
Absolutely. And we are working, you know, with people to kind of enhance, like making riding Metro sexy and cool and things like that to kind of help sell this. Because she's absolutely right. The appetite is kind of lost. People look at the bus system like, oh, it's not, you know, all that. So we got to get people excited about it. And that's what Better Bus Coalition is trying to do.
Craig, how are you going to make Metro sexy?
Well, you're not going to see any pictures of me, though. But, you know, I think it's we're going to provide 14 million rides this year, right? So it's, I think to say no one's riding the bus is a little bit,
a little bit
of an overstatement. But I think it's, you know, we need to make it a service that works for people. So oftentimes when I talk to folks that say they would like to ride the bus, it doesn't work exactly for their needs. In fact, I'll put myself in this, right? So I would, for me to get the bus to where I work, I almost have to go downtown and then back out, right? So it'd be a little over an hour commute, okay? I have the luxury of having access to a car, so I don't need to do it, mm-hmm. but I would rather have a system that would let me do that, and that's what we're working towards, so that you have the frequency. You know, if a bus only comes once an hour, it's not that much use to you, because if you miss one, boy, you're in trouble, right? So those kind of things. You want to say something?
No, please.
And I think it's you know, we need to increase the span of service. So when the system was first put together and the funding model we had, you know, you're kind of supporting the 8 to 5 workers. So many works now overnight, right? All the work out at the airport and things like that. So we need to have a system that gets people there. And then we need to have service deeper into the county and connect to the rest of the region so that we can get people from Hamilton County to where they need to go and vice versa.
And Pat, you're hearing a little bit about the stigma associated with public transit. Is that something that you found in your reporting, that people feel that way, or maybe have some opinions about people who use the system?
Sure. Well, and most of the people that I talk to about Metro and using public transportation are typically users. So I don't necessarily hear that much when I'm doing direct reporting on a story I'm working on in that moment. But I would definitely agree that exists. And I think what we've seen, if I could speak from kind of the media perspective on this, what we're seeing over the last 24 months or so is this conversation is really starting to pick up momentum and volume. You know, and several years ago when I first started at WCPO, there was only a fraction of the kind of coverage that this topic is getting across all, you know, the broadcast networks, the Inquirer, all the newspapers in town. Everyone's really starting to pick up on this, as being an issue that needs immediate attention. And so while that stigma might still be kind of rooted pretty firmly in our area, at least we're talking about it more now than we ever have been before.
And I certainly get a lot of folks that you wouldn't have normally associated with the bus asking about it and interested in riding. And I think the one thing that is interesting is it's not that complicated to ride, but people are almost a little bit intimidated about how do I go about doing it, right? Uh-huh. So we're working on a number of things at Metro to try to communicate and educate folks on how easy it is to ride the bus.
And I think we need to at least make the point that the streetcar is not involved in this conversation at all. I think it's easy to get those confused from an outsider's perspective.
I think you'll see people try to pull it in.
Yeah.
The specific language in Cam's ballot proposal, you know, would prohibit it. And certainly that's our policies to keep any funds. That's funded by the city, not by SWORD. And I think, honestly, that's another reason for the countywide funding. It'd be a little clearer line between those things as well.
Why did you, Cam, feel the need to put that streetcar language in what your would-be ballot initiative?
Well, as Craig said, you know, we don't want to get distracted around the streetcar. I think that, as Pat mentioned, there's a lot of momentum around public transportation, around specifically bus service. And I think before that, all of the detention was about the streetcar. And so that's probably why we exist today, is to bring, you know, awareness around that. And so we just wanted to keep the focus on our bus system. It's already an existing, you know, policy. So we just wanted to put it into the charter.
So, Cam, it looks like you're setting out to run a levy campaign. And that's not cheap. That's not easy. So how are you going to do it?
Well, I'll say this. I won't give away all of our secrets, but I'll say this. We're going to have a lot of help from people outside of Ohio who really, really support us and appreciate what we're trying to do and see the need to bring it here to Cincinnati. So we're really excited.
So you're going to have some campaign infrastructure.
Absolutely.
From some outside sources.
Gotcha.
That are coming in to help.
Well, we're going to be opposed. We have to have some outside resources to move forward. Absolutely.
Okay, so what's your timeline? When do you want this on the ballot? This
well,
is in November?
Yeah, November. We have to have our signatures in by August.
6,400 of them?
Correct. A little bit over that. A little bit over that. And then from there, November, the citizens will be voting on it.
Okay, and again, the Better Bus Coalition is asking for a 0.2% increase in the Cincinnati earnings tax. It would raise about $36 million a year for the bus system. That's according to your own coalition's calculations. And SWORD itself is, as far as the Board of Directors are concerned, are looking forward to mounting a levy campaign of their own in 2020, whether this goes through or not.
Well, I think what we'd really like to do is get something on the, you know, proposed and out and headed toward the ballot, you know, so that we've committed to it before even November, even if it is in March next year, so that, you know, Cam and team, we can all be on the same page looking for the same thing.
Right. I want to thank SWORD Board Chair Craig Cassie, Cam Hardy of the Better Bus Coalition, and WCPO reporter Pat LaFleur for joining us for this conversation today. Very cool of y'all.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our show can be found online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.